Hi, everyone. This is Father Jim Churn, and you're listening to the Pope Benedict XVI School of Prayer podcast, where each week we're reflecting on the catechesis from the late Holy Father from 2011, when he was discussing and teaching about the life of prayer. And this week, week 16, the talk comes from October 19th, 2011, and his catechesis was on Psalm 136 called the Great Hallel. If you look up the psalm, you see what the Holy Father was referring to in his catechesis, that the recurring line that you hear over and over and over, almost like a litany, is "For his mercy endures forever." So the entire psalm is reflecting God's work in salvation history from creation up till our very day and age. One of the providential things that you'll find if you're listening to this as I'm recording it on April 18th, 2024. It's just a few days away from Passover, where our elder brothers and sisters of the covenant, the Jewish people, are preparing to celebrate the Passover. And that's one of the major themes that's covered in Psalm 136, where the Jewish people celebrate their freedom from Egyptian slavery. And it's interesting, when I was listening to the catechesis, and again, it's not like I didn't remember this, but when you hear the psalm, it just kind of goes through all these events, like each of the plagues, the parting of the Red Sea, and each time it's "For his love endures forever," and all the great things that happen with that. We have no idea what that must have been like for the Jewish people in real time when that happened. Like, how long those days and nights must have seemed, how they were hopeless in some instances and desperate and anxious and fearful. And even when these great plagues and signs were happening that were proving God's power over Egypt, that he was leveling every one of the Egyptian gods, the pagan gods that they were worshiping, with each of those different plagues. And so he was proving how much mightier, and that he was the only God that existed. These were great feats and signs and wonders, but they were still enslaved. They were still suffering. They were still wondering when their liberation was going to finally occur, if it would ever occur at all. And even once the final plague happens with the death of the firstborn of all the Egyptians, you know, and they're finally let go, that they start to leave, and all of a sudden the Egyptians change their mind. Pharaoh changes his mind and goes after them and intends to recapture them. And then they come upon the Red Sea, and they're anxious once again, wondering, oh, you know, what has Moses done to us? Were we foolish for listening to him? Is this really real? Is the Lord God with us? And then the parting of the Red Sea happens, and then the crushing of Pharaoh's armies with the Red Sea after the Jews have crossed over. It's such a powerful story for Jews and Christians for us to recount. And you know, I just encourage you, if you have time, to go check out Exodus chapters, I think it's 6 through 12, where you can go through the whole story. But again, like, as you're hearing the psalmist, he's just kind of rattling these things off. He overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for his mercy endures forever. To him who led his people through the wilderness, for his mercy endures forever. And he's just going through all these things. And it strikes me that when we're going through our own dark nights, they seem like they're never going to end, and they're going on and on and on. But how often, when God answers our prayer, when we get through that thing and it kind of fades into the background, and we just keep kind of, in a sense, moving forward, not necessarily thinking about what has happened in the past, how God has answered our prayers, maybe not in the miraculous immediate way that we wanted them, but no less effective, no less powerful, and in God's providence, always probably better than what we could ever have imagined that they would be. It was interesting, too, because a couple weeks ago, I had to give a talk on forgiveness. And I was reflecting on Pope Benedict's homilies that he had given over 50 years of his life, basically, where he was doing ordination homilies and priest jubilee homilies and different anniversaries that associated with people's priesthoods, different bishops and first masses and stuff like that. There's a whole collection of these. And I was reading them, and one of the things that kept striking me was how often he referred to the rise of Nazism in Germany. And when I was doing my own talk, I said to the congregation I was speaking to that it's amazing that for me, who's only 50 years old right now, that's ancient history. World War II, Nazism, all those horrible things that I heard about and learned about and saw movies about growing up and even to this very day is not part of my own experience. So I hear stories about them and I can have a sense of the horror of it and you know, can imagine how terrible that must have been for people. But the Holy Father is writing as someone who was growing up in the country as it was being overtaken by the Nazism, was oppressed by it as a German himself, was forced into the Hitler Youth camp, was mocked for being Catholic in this Catholic faith. When one of his military commanders or whatever that in the camp he was forced into had asked him as a young teenager what he wanted to do once his military service was completed, he answered he wanted to be a priest, and the guy laughed at him and said, like, well, they're not going to be necessary anymore because we have the regime. And the Holy Father was recounting this in one of those homilies, and he said, not less than a few years later, that evil regime was in the ash heap of history, kind of, you know, I'm paraphrasing now what he said, but he was reflecting on that but then talked about just how traumatic this was for the entire country, recognizing the true horrors that enveloped their land and consumed all of them, destroyed them as a people. And, one of the beautiful things that he reflected on was that a moment of healing for them, for him and a lot of his fellow seminarians in the early 1950 was when every 25 years, the church celebrates a jubilee year. So the world is invited to go make pilgrimage to Rome and go to St. Peter's Basilica. And there's all kinds of different celebrations to mark that jubilee year. So 1950 was the first one after World War II. And he talks about going there. And it was the first time that they started to feel any sense of reconciliation with the rest of the world, just as Germans, even though, he is, especially as a young man, was not responsible for the horrors of what came out from their Nazi regime and from all the trials and everything that followed World War II. They felt the weight of the guilt of that. And he talked about how the church was a healing agent for them as a people and also bringing healing to all of Europe in the 1950s. And I was remarking at the time, like when I was doing this talk, that I'm like, that never even occurred to me that, what the German people, the innocent citizens that were, in a lot of ways helpless, or even those that maybe weren't so innocent, maybe they were kind of complicit or they were apathetic about all the things that were going on until the full horror was finally revealed. And then they realized that they were complicit themselves, all the guilt that they were collectively holding. And the beautiful thing, as the Holy Father is revisiting these things in these homilies, he's still talking about the healing that came from Christ, how the church helped nourish him and brought him in, particularly as he embarked on seminary studies and was eventually ordained and very quickly became a brilliant theologian and was recognized very early on for his brilliance. And the beautiful thing of listening to all these different stories that he was sharing was that you could hear Benedict saying how, in his own way, he could add to this psalm about God's mercy endures forever, creating healing and working wonders, even in the midst of like gross, horrific evils that people experienced. And that's when, like, when he was talking about that in this psalm, and he referred to the Nazi and communist histories, you could hear how he was trying to capture that and share that with us. You know, and one of the things I shared with the people was that my own talk was that, even though World War II is ancient history to me, you know, I have a better appreciation of that now, post 9/11. You know, I was only ordained, I think, 2 years at that point, and the World Trade Center was not 15 miles from the parish I was serving at, and I could see the smoke, and we could see the towers fall from where we were. You know, just a horrific scene, and just the trauma of that for the people of our area was just so real. And, you know, I know that for myself, that the last 22 years, or 23 at this point, or going to be 23 this year, that, yeah, 9/11 has had that kind of impact on me too, in a lot of different ways. That it's definitely colored my vision of history and living this region of the country. But one of the things I can also add to that litany is that, yes, God's mercy endures forever. When I think back to the terror and the fear that was prevalent, that we were bracing for another horrific thing to happen at any moment, that there were days that we had those color codes about, you know, that were on red alert or orange alert or yellow alert, and people were just getting anxious about any little thing that might have been going on. You know, it was a really horrible time, and it was definitely something that was very anxious for, it would cause a lot of anxiety for people around here and myself included. But I look back now and realize how many miracles came from that time, how many beautiful stories of heroism and sacrifice and selflessness that were emerged, even in a very jaded, cynical world of ours, that we could still reflect on that kind of heroic attitudes and behaviors of so many different people, and seeing the hand of God working through a lot of that. And that's one of the things that I think the Holy Father was trying to emphasize, that the reason that the Passover is such an important event for the Jewish people is that it's always that sense of remembering. That, yes, remembering the darkness and the dark times that they encountered and the things that they thought were going to destroy them, but how, as they're celebrating that Passover, they're there. They're together. They have survived yet another year, and they always had that memory that what brought them to this moment is His mercy enduring forever. And so it is for us, even more so as Catholic Christians, that we recognize that in Jesus we've encountered an even greater exodus, that we have the freedom and liberation from sin and from death, and that even when we still experience the effects of those things of sin and death, we know that this is not the end for us, and that we too will find the fulfillment of His mercy enduring forever, particularly in the eternal life to come. So those are my thoughts and ramblings. I hope you enjoyed reflecting on the Holy Father's words, and, you know, I hope that this leads you to some deeper prayer for yourself as well. Have a great week, everyone, and I will see you next week. God bless.